Metal Car!
Hey, babe!
All right, John, big show for a Thursday night, Friday morning, and to take you through your weekend on the weekend of the British Open. What time do we tee off on Sunday morning, by the way?
That's a good question. I would guess probably
Pacific time, please.
Yeah, 5 a.m. I guess, because I'm thinking the first two rounds, there are a lot more players. They cut half of them, send them home. So it probably makes it a little bit easier. You have less players. So I guess about 5 a.m. would be the worst guys. So by the you can get up. I mean, if you're not a 22-year-old, you can wake up and watch the leaders tee off. But, like, you can't, if you're hungover or whatever, and, like, roll out of bed at 8:30, you might be late. I bet probably 8 o'clock would be my guess.
We're looking up. Peacock starts streaming at 5 a.m. Eastern on Sunday morning.
Yeah, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they tee up. Maybe I could see them. You said 5 a.m. Eastern, the cock?
5 a.m. Eastern on Peacock on Sunday.
I saw the No Laying Up guys were calling it the cock.
The cock.
The cock.
3 a.m.? Yeah. No, 2 a.m. on the cock.
I think I had mentioned to you.
That does not count as cursing.
Maybe I had mentioned on a couple days ago. I was actually planning on really not gambling. Beside our,
you mentioned that, yes.
Beside our
$200.
Beside our DraftKings game, $200. I put in $300 more. I'm at $500. I just couldn't. I didn't have any horses, and it's like that. You know, when you won your a lot of money for the PGA, you just. You have a better chance. You feel better if you have a couple horses. So, and Koepka is like, you know, am I going to go wrong betting on Brooksy?
Well, I'll tell you.
Xander doesn't win, but I know this. Every time when you wake up on a Sunday in a major, his name's usually in the top five. So you feel good about the bet. So I got Xander and Brooksy. I threw a substantial amount, you know. I mean, a lot. If you were going to bet on a golf winner, I would say anything above $100 is a pretty big golf wager, right? If you're getting
on a winner, yes.
18 to 1. I mean, that's
$18. Yeah. I got a text today from a friend of the show, let's say, who high profile, and he said who we like, and I said, well, you know, I started going through a few names, and he's like, DJ or JT for me. I'm like, but neither JT. Like, I have no faith in JT, and DJ's not even playing well, and he's like, I'm gonna bet on DJ and JT. So. Basically, like, if I just bet on these guys all the time, I'm going to be right more than I'm wrong. I mean, you know, relative to golf betting, you're not going to be over 50%.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
Very true.
And that's why I said to you, I'm like, maybe DJ's not crazy.
Not
because he's 18. What do we say, 18 to 1?
He's 20 to 1.
20 to 1. And mybookie.ag, promo code HAM and the number one. Mybookie.ag, promo code HAM and the number one. Now, here's the thing. We're recording this on Wednesday. You are taking this in at the earliest Thursday evening. So the thing's already begun. But that's where the live betting, John, comes in at mybookie.ag, promo code HAM, the number one.
Yep, live betting. And that, honestly, it might be the way to do a big golf tournament because you can kind of get a feel. I mean, you can bet on a guy after the cut. You know, the guy's alive. I think that's what I did with Bryson when he crumbled in the U.S. Open. Mybookie.ag, promo code HAM, one. Baseball's back. We got a couple more games in the NBA Finals. And yeah, mybookie.ag, promo code HAM, one. I saw that... I follow Dana White. He just tweeted like another big fight just got like inked for within the next month. You can always gamble on UFC, which is something that's really popular, gambling on fighters. I'm on a couple text threads. I wouldn't say they're like UFC diehards. They just say they bet on the UFC
because a lot of people watch.
You can get like, you know, I think sometimes maybe not golf level odds, but a guy like 3-4 to 1 that you go, this guy, I've seen this guy fight before. I think he's got a good chance to win. Like, the Conor Dustin fight wasn't like that, but I think there are a lot of fights on the undercards of pay-per-views where you can get guys that you like, this guy's plus 500 and he wins because you know what? Those fucking guys are crazy the moment they get in that thing.
Yeah. Well, by the way,
what would you have to be paid to get in an octagon to fight anyone? I mean, like an actual fighter, not just like anyone off the street.
It'd have to be.
Because they don't call the fight right away, so you would take some shots, you know?
I mean, I'd hit the deck pretty quickly, though, but it's not boxing. Like, they're allowed to jump on you.
Well, they straddle, and then they either elbow to the craniums or do something.
John, I honestly don't know. Because for me, weak necked, like, I'm not doing the F1 stretches that the drivers do. And I was watching some F1 the other night.
$100,000, no tax. Like, you get $100K cash. Would you need that? Like, to me, 50 to take some shots, that could hurt. You could shatter your nose.
But I do have to consider, I might get murdered. I might die.
Well, you probably would. But
connect.
I would say.
You could snap my brain.
No, I'd say probably maybe a jaw shatter or a leg snap. Yeah, $100,000 might not be enough.
I don't. 50 is definitely not enough. I don't think 100 is. I think we'd have to be in the. We'd have to get into like the mid sixes.
Well, if I told you,
and I would spend
is a hundred grand worth getting your jaw shattered? It's not. I don't care unless you're like you have no like that. Me, that's
especially I'd be out of commission.
Yeah, you could. Oh, you one
through the wire.
Oh, good point.
Well, maybe I could make a magical podcast.
Yeah, even just the leg. You know how hard it feels when they kick you. I mean, goddamn, the whole thing just looks so painful. At least boxing. I'd probably get into a ring, even with like a Floyd for like $50,000. You can hit me with the glove, knock me out, but it's not going to do that much. The kicking and the elbows. I mean, the pain. Ugh. The pain, man.
MyBookie.ag, promo code Hammond, the number one, where, by the way, what is this? I think it's Friday or Saturday. Anyway, British Grand Prix coming up this weekend. Max Verstappen, the heavy favorite, John. The heavy favorite.
What's the heavy?
Things have changed for Red Bull recently.
Where's Lewis?
They've overtaken Mercedes. Lewis is plus 170, which is second. And then everybody else is like
Lewis feels like Tiger, you know, the stretch he had before he kind of like maybe like 2012 or 13. Like, is he something off? Is the car fucking, we need new tires?
I don't know.
What's going on here?
One thing, you know, Red Bull was big. Mercedes took it. But Red Bull's back. I watched Verstappen. Now, a few things had to go wrong for Lewis to win whatever thing I watched like a month ago, but Red Bull is back.
Lewis had a hell of a run, but it feels over. What is he still, like, finish third every race?
He ain't finished 17th.
Right.
He was leading. I don't know if there's been a recent. I think I saw he'd lost, like, or had not won.
Yeah.
Was it not won or not podiumed for three straight races for like the first time ever? Again, my F1 stats are a little iffy.
So he's like the equivalent of some of like Tom Brady's, you know, like AFC championship teams that don't make it to the Super Bowl. He's still damn good, but he's not like a 7-9 team.
But you're not going to find anybody going like, yeah, bet against him. You're not going to, you'll definitely win if you bet against Lewis Hamilton. He's still one of the, I mean, again, he's a heavy favorite over the rest of the field.
Yeah. Just Max is a bigger
favorite.
Just
Max is another level. Yeah.
I don't know if Max is going to quite resonate like Lewis. Like, Lewis, he got a cool look. He's just got a sweet name. Easier to spell than I can't spell that last name for Max.
No. Been at it for a while. Just the good energy. He's just a unique person, it seems like. Not that I really know a ton, but from what I've watched, seems like. Were you telling me? Somebody else was telling me. Somebody was telling me they were involved. They know somebody with F1. Who just said Lewis is the best.
People like him.
Loved working with him.
I could see that.
Just the best, even though, you know, super wealthy.
I saw today that, do you know that Messi's last contract was like 4 years, $700 million? And I saw today the headline was like, Messi takes 50% pay cut, still will make $83 million a year. I was like, God damn, these guys have it good.
That's incredible. Well, it's the other thing is you're like, baseball players, like none of them get paid for 6 years. Then you watch the All-Star game. And everybody's wearing double chain. Like, you can't play in the game without double chains. How about the El Nino? Did you say the El Nino? I mean, I know he's been wearing it all year, I think. But I think it said El Nino, or maybe just said Nino. The Fernando Tatis Jr. chain is massive.
No, I didn't see that.
John, I hate carrying anything over, like, 5 keys is too many keys. I don't know how these guys play with so much weight around their neck.
I saw Machado. Cool, they must have had a party. Maybe it was Sunday night. MLB had a party. Probably wasn't Sunday because guys played. Maybe it was Monday. Maybe it was just coming to the yard before. I guess for some guys, they weren't in the home run derby. You just come to put on your uni and hang out, but you kind of come through a red carpet. His wife, obviously, Manny's got a lot of cash. Her purse was basically like a diamond baseball. I mean, I would just, if you just had to ballpark, $500,000, you know, who knows? I mean, that could be low. The money some of those high-end guys have, what Tatis just signed for, right? 300?
14 years? Yeah. I mean, it's just, he's 22. Your key is that you got, your chain has to hit, if you're mic'd up, hit the mic. Xander, I don't know if you caught Xander Bogaerts at the plate, but you get like that sound when the chain hits the mic that just sounds good. It just sounds kind of sweet. Sounded good. But
you see Hendrix mic'd up swearing? That was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was great. They do, I mean.
Yeah, they do a good job.
All-Star game, sweet. Baseball All-Star game. How about this for a bet? How often does this happen? The Giants have the best record in baseball.
Yeah.
And there are one, two, here are the teams with better odds to win the National League than them at mybookie.ag. Ham one. The Dodgers, the Padres, the Braves, the Reds, the Cubs, the Mets, the Nats. That can't be right. Okay, this is not in order. Sorry. Teams with the better odds. Dodgers, Padres, Mets. That's it. See, sometimes they don't put them in order. It throws me off.
Yeah. Plus 500. They usually do it alphabetically. Is that the way they did it? Or no?
I don't think so. Yeah, maybe, no, it's not alphabetical. Yeah.
I was texting someone that's pretty locked into the Giants schedule, and he says it gets a lot harder. Because, listen, I'm not trying to be a Giants hater, though I'm not a Gabe Kapler guy. Nothing. Farhan, I'd give him a 15-year extension right now. He is elite. That guy is elite. I was texting with Vincent Recruiti, our buddy from Fresno, who just is crushing in the business world. And he's a diehard Yankee fan. He obviously hates Aaron Boone, and he can't stand any of the players. Besides Aaron Judge, who actually came down to his deal when in Fresno, so he loves Aaron Judge, thinks everyone else stinks. And I was saying, like, can you imagine? I didn't realize that Tampa, I mean, their record, he's like, how could it be possible? They got rid of all these players last year because they signed other places. They look the exact same. It's just new random guys. Amazing. They're 20 games over. And it's like, yeah, what I would do if I were you, I would find a Farhan, I would find a Friedman, I would find a Dodger guy, and I would offer 100%. Him $75 million and get rid of Cashman. He's like, bro, do you understand that Cashman had the Yankees invested like millions of dollars in the analytic department? I'm like, well, you have the wrong nerds.
Yep.
Because the right nerds, Tampa, obviously Farhan, Billy.
Not Giancarlo, I'll tell you that.
They are geniuses. They are geniuses. Yeah. But my take is, I do think that they're going to come back to Earth. Not Earth. I just think that whenever I look up, guy, they're playing terrible teams. And in fairness to them, they kill them.
Yes, they do.
When do they ever play good teams? They just don't.
Feels like never.
Yeah.
It's like, the Diamondbacks are... Oh, the Rock... Oh, the...
You know the Diamondbacks are probably going to win like 40 games this year? They are historically bad.
Well, they had a stretch, remember, where they... What was that? They lost like 21 road games in a row or something.
They stink.
I know. Tough for our guy voter.
I do think, and just having just been there and love the area. Now the Suns are cool. That area, like if the Cardinals job becomes available and the Diamondbacks, you can't tell me that like high level executives won't want to go. I mean, all the athletes, they live there. Like people want to go there. It's like, you know, people love taking over jobs in Houston. Like, you want to go where people want to be. How do they not crush it in sports?
It's really a more college sports conversation, right? Like, the location than it is a pro sports conversation.
It doesn't make it, because most people wouldn't choose to, like, a random athlete from Texas, like, hey, the Niners are going to sign. You just end up, you get forced here, and then they love it when they're here, but the amount they'd have to pay and... You know,
coaches don't ever leave pro jobs for pro jobs, and you know the way college coaches do.
But it's just crazy. But specifically the Diamondbacks, baseball players fucking love that area, right? That Arizona area. They all have homes there. A lot of them stay there.
Spring training's there for a reason.
And they suck. And they mainly have sucked. Wouldn't you say a large percentage of like our adult life, besides the Randy Johnson team?
Yeah, I mean they came in what, 97, I think, and.
It feels like they're kind of a sitting, sleeping giant.
It's hard. Like,
but pro sports doesn't work that way. Just don't. Just draft the right guys.
All right. So one thing, John, that we have to start with, we're going to do, this is a mailbag. We're diving in the mailbag. Here's what you do. You go to iTunes. You leave us a review on iTunes. In that review, you leave a question. We also would love for you to name your favorite bar to hang out at. It doesn't even have to be a sports bar. Just let's name drop some local places that you love. Wherever it is in the country, wherever it is in the world, that's fun. This week, not only are we taking some iTunes mailbag questions, which is great. We appreciate that. We're almost to 1,000 reviews on iTunes, so keep those coming. But we also posted on our Haberman and Middlecoff Facebook page. We've got some questions from Facebook as well. So you can also submit questions there. Same deal. And we can dive right in. Now this...
I was going to forward to you this really quick.
Yeah.
I saw a New York Times headline, Facebook... And this is not why I've been pushing Facebook, but they're going to start spending over $1 billion on creators.
Here we are.
Yeah.
To be created.
Yeah.
Let's go Facebook.
Holler at me, Mark.
So this one, actually, we record this podcast being recorded on July 14th. This question came in on July 11th. We know that July 14th, Richard Sherman's Richard Sherman was arrested. So if you're listening to this on Thursday night or Friday or whenever over the weekend, maybe things have changed. Somebody, Mr. Superfly says, it's July 11th, a month away from preseason. Richard Sherman hasn't been signed yet. Who do you guys see him signing with? Obviously, that question is out, but the timing of it, interesting. I'll tell you this. As we record this, you and I were sitting here just talking before we started recording. The 911 call has been posted. I started listening to it for about 5 seconds. I do not have a stomach for 911 calls. I had to turn it off. Thankfully nobody was hurt. It doesn't make this an easy story, but the fact that nobody was hurt, nobody was killed, nobody was any of that stuff, makes the story a lot less tragic in some ways. Although just from what I heard of that call, it's pretty sad.
It's just, as we're recording this right now, the information is, like you said, up to that point, it just got released. I know for me personally, just as a player, he's one of my favorite players in the league over the last decade, like right up there with like Tom Payton. Like, he's on a short list of the guys that are just like an all-timer. And then, like, you know, obviously being in this area, following what David said about him, you know, following Seattle really closely. And then when he came to the Niners, like, I actually have as much respect for him as a person as I did as a player. Like, I think he's a really, really high-level guy. I know you were telling me before we hopped on, you know, people that know him, people love the guy. Like, he is very, very – his respect level is really, really high. And I know, you know, everyone has to give their opinion on social media. Like, he followed me a couple years ago on Twitter, and he would – and I DM him, beside the last couple times trying to get him on the podcast. But, like, just questions about football. I remember the CBA stuff. He was as – guy, he would – two people emailed or texted me as quickly, and one's Andy – and Richard, I mean, I swear to God, if I send him a DM, you know, for a couple year period, and right back, just a high level. And I'm not asking like crazy questions, but I've always liked him, huge fan of him. I'm hoping he's fine. Like, honestly, these things are sad, and I hope. Fuck, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
That's what you can say.
I've never met anyone who's been around him that doesn't like. Speak really, really, and this isn't like, you know, good player. It's like he's like the highest level guy in the room. Talking to people with the Niners when they like negotiated against him, like they really, really liked him.
One of the reasons I was texting with a guy who was a teammate of his in the NFL today, and he was, kind of upset about it because I've always talked. He just thinks very highly of him, and one of the reasons I'm thankful that nobody was hurt. There was no, you know, physical altercation between him and his wife, or is because you can actually say what you just said, right? He hit somebody with his car and something else happens. And now it's hard to even convey the message that you conveyed, which is that you're rooting for him and you hope that his family and everything works out. Now, again, we record this on Wednesday afternoon. By the time you hear this, maybe there's more details. We don't know, but these are our thoughts in this moment. And,
I just think some of the highest level guys in the league are probably from his teammates at Stanford, which a bunch of high level guys, to think about John Schneider, Richard Sherman. I thought John Schneider, they were asked about like after the draft, if Richard, they'd be interested in him. He's like, not only would we be interested in him, like Richard Sherman's a stalwart Seattle Seahawk. Like he's a huge part of everything we've ever done here. And we know what Kyle, John, and those guys think of him, right? So it's not like he became some great player for lower level Jaguars and the, you know, the Texans or something, right?
No, he became one of the faces of the NFL and one of the best things the NFL had going for it.
I would say that's why when this story kind of comes out, it's like it feels extra big because of how big of a, I mean, he's easily one of the more non-quarterbacks, when you say top five most famous guy in the league. In the most famous league in America,
certainly. For, I mean, you know, now as time goes on, you get JJ and,
you know,
I mean, JJ,
but you know what? But his name, just absolutely. People know him.
He's one of the. He's been certainly one of the most valuable assets the NFL has had as a product for several years now because he's one of the best, and he's not afraid to, you know, to talk and share his opinions, and he's got smart opinions and that kind of stuff. So, all right, onward with the mailbag, John. This is from Cali Trotter. Best sports podcast, without a doubt, 5 stars. Fellow Fresno State alum here, go Dogs. I'm a Charger fan. This year has a lot of potential. Herbert can make a run for MVP. James can win comeback player of the year. And dare I say, Staley gets coach of the year by taking us all the way to the Super Bowl. LOL. I'm a betting man, and Herbert for MVP can win good money. Who do you think will become the MVP for the 2021-2022 season. Let's see. I just had my bookie open so I can go back.
I'd say if Herbert were to win the MVP, I guess his first 2 years wouldn't be as great as Mahomes, because Mahomes' first 2 years, he won an MVP and he won a Super Bowl, like in back-to-back years. But just individual awards, to win the Rookie of the Year by, I mean, a landslide, and then win the MVP would be non-Mahomes, which we already know Mahomes is an all-time outlier, would be one of the greatest starts in the history of sports, not even just football. Like, how does it get any better, right? I would say that would... It'd be jaw-dropping if he wins the MVP. Because that does mean their team's really good, right?
So here, yeah, I mean, here are some odds. I've got it on the YouTube. Mahomes, Rodgers, blah, blah, blah. Where's Herbert here?
He's up. Keep going. Up. Yeah, keep scrolling above Lamar Jackson.
14-1.
That seems, those odds should be a little, that's a little
longer.
High. Yeah.
Longer, right? You thinking like 20-1 or something like that? Is that what
you're
saying?
Guy, Lamar Jackson, who has already won one and is on a powerhouse team, like, he can't have worse odds than Herbert, right?
No, but I think part of this is, like, there are people that go, I'm going to get in on Herbert before other people do. But the answer is everyone's in on Herbert.
Now, where would, yeah, his odds reflect that. Where it is realistic, if the Chargers win, if I tell you right now the Chargers go 12-5, his name, I don't see how he wouldn't be like a top five conversation guy, right? Like, the Seattle was awesome last year, and Russell Wilson ended up not really even being close toward the end, which, think about that. Like, things do change.
Right.
I could see him having a stretch, if they're good, where it's like, could he win the MVP? That's realistic. Can I see him being the MVP? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have seen Lamar Jackson. He won it, so who knows? Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe.
Carson, 25-1?
I like those odds better than Herbert's, don't you? If I said you have $100... And you can't split it. You can just bet it on one guy. Would you put it on Carson or would you put it on Herbert?
Carson.
Yeah. Those odds are tasty, guy.
How about the 80-1 Garoppolo?
Can I give you a pushback on Carson?
Do you have an appetite for that?
I think that speaks to how good he is. Because fucking Carson, based off last season, should be closer to Jimmy, shouldn't he? Shouldn't Carson be like 50-1?
John, his odds are longer than Deshaun Watson's.
Well, but he's not going to play.
Well, I know.
Yeah. But even like, at least Tannehill, we've seen him like, lead playoff teams and stuff, right? Last year,
same odds.
That shows you that they're not letting people just buy Carson at 40-1.
Yeah. All right, good mailbag question. Next up, this is also from iTunes. This is from Mike O'Brien, full name on the internet. Appreciate that, Mike. Question for Guy first: what's your favorite broadcasting memory that you're a part of? I know you're well-versed in most sports. John, I appreciate your motto from Cal Poly, learned by doing. My ex-brother-in-law went there, and I remember that motto well. I'm a Chico State grad, so as I always said, learn by drinking. LOL. In your opinion, John, the question for John is, can you give me a top-performing offensive and defensive rookie in the NFL this year? You guys are the best. Promo code HAM, Mike O'Brien. Thank you, Mike. My favorite sports, well, you chew on offensive and defensive rookies. My favorite sports broadcasting memory that I was a part of. I mean, I always go back to, I mean, one of my favorite things, going to calling some games at Fenway was awesome. A few years ago, it's hard for me to pick one. A few years ago, I did they don't call it the Holy War anymore. BYU, Utah. It was a huge game at Utah, Zach Wilson's freshman year, sellout. Utah had already wrapped up the Pac-12 South Championship, and they had this big comeback, and it was, like, amazing. And for me, that one is special to me because the game was on FS1. It was ranked that year the 32nd best game in college football by SB Nation, John. And the guy I did it with, and I always joke, that we did the 32nd game according to SB Nation in whatever year that was. 2017. But for me, that game was special, if I'm being like fully vulnerable here, because it was a great game, and it was the first game I did where I walked out of there like thinking I nailed that. Like, not only was I ready, but the game presented some moments and I freaking nailed it. So that game gave me a lot of confidence, a ton of confidence, just from a play-by-play perspective. And then the other thing I would add is a few years ago, like this would have been the 2016-2017 season with the Warriors. I went on a Warriors road trip, did some games on radio. Doing that was cool. The trip.
Didn't you go to a dinner where the whole team was there?
Yeah, they were playing the Nets, and this was their Christmas road trip. It went Brooklyn, Detroit, and then it finished in Cleveland on Christmas Day.
Back when LeBron was on the team.
And KD, this was the game Richard Jefferson, I think, dunked on Draymond. And that place was a zoo. Like, that was a wild place.
Was this Kevin's first year?
Yeah, right? 16, 17?
Because him and Steph were getting weird at the time, kind of, right?
And so we go to Brooklyn. I go to, like, the Warriors practice the night before at, like, some gym. We're, like, just watching them walk by the wall of people, like, just on treadmills and bikes, and people just going, like, did Kevin Durant just walk by me? Why are they at a public gym? So then, yeah, we go to they rented out a private area, Lacob. They do this first class, man. They rent out Nobu, which is, like, a famous big league sushi place, Manhattan.
Heard of it.
And yeah, everybody was allowed to bring anybody that they wanted. So, like, Zydranas Ilgauskas was there. Who's Steve Kerr's friend? Who's, like, the singer from Berkeley? Famous.
Oh, the Counting Crows guy with the dreads.
He was there.
Yeah, cow guy.
Bunch of people were there. And I was there. It was ridiculous.
Who was at your table?
Like, players' families were there. I was sitting with, like, Kalena and RC Davis, who's the Warriors producer. And then other people just rotated in. You know, it was just, like, kind of casual. So people just drop in and say hi, and it was just like a family dinner.
Everyone on the team go? Like, any no-shows?
Everybody. I think everybody was there, yeah. Then we go to Detroit. They play the Nets. Night to Detroit. Land in Detroit. It's freezing cold. Snow. 3 a.m. hotel. People are at the hotel in the freezing cold with, like, cheering for the Warriors. And same deal. Next day, team dinner. So, you know, you're pocketing all your money, your per diem, and team dinner again, same deal. Just sitting, you know, I think that night table was the same. Maybe Roz was there that night, and you know, the players had their own table, but there was just an NBA game on TV. Everyone was watching it. Go to Cleveland. They Ruth Chris, I think, is what Morton's or Ruth Chris is where dinner was. That night, Lacob came by, said hi to every single person. You know, Raymond Ritter's like, this is guy. He's filling in on the trip, blah, blah, blah. So first class. So that's up there.
I feel like we should get Joe on. Whenever I hear him talking, like, I always want more Joe.
I interviewed him a couple years ago on, like, Sirius XM for this Warriors for an NBA channel thing. He was, and Welts. Yeah. He was very cool. I think that's a good idea, John. It's a very good idea.
So we got three state school guys, one on the question, two here. Do you know, I was talking to someone, the GPA you need to get into Cal Poly now? Like, there is zero, absolutely 100% zero chance I couldn't get in. Like, how hard it is to get into schools just in California.
What is it?
I don't know, like 4.3 minimum. But I just think...
What does it cost? I remember Fresno State cost $1,300,
well,
I think.
Well, Cal Poly was the same. It was cheap. The most expensive part, I think the real estate... In San Luis was probably obviously more than Fresno. That was like your costs for housing were expensive, but the, I don't know, it was like, I remember making the payments, like $1,300 payments. It was cheap, you know, relative to the stories you hear about, like UCLA or USC or fucking St. Mary's or, you know, it's like Stanford. It was not expensive. Offensive, defensive, I really do think you saw him throw out the first pitch. You went to the game, Najee Harris. You see Ben...
I thought you were going to say Peyton Manning.
Ben is doing a full diet now, year 18. He's just going, changing his body. I guess.
Time to get committed.
You know, when you probably start seeing your career, like, they were going to cut me. And they were, like, dead serious. Like, Ben, we're going to cut you. That's what it took for Ben to, like, start eating the salad. I do think they're going to hand him the ball a lot. Like, he is an awesome player. I think he's going to be fucking fantastic. Defensive rookie of the year. To me, those... There wasn't a big-time pass rusher. To me, typically, those guys have a huge edge, right? A guy that if you can just get, like, 9 sacks, that you know, Bosa type. Corners, I would not touch them. You know, I don't know. I don't even have an answer.
Micah Parsons?
Yeah, I could see, like, if the Cowboys win 10 games, he could have some big plays. That's not a terrible one. I follow Amari on Instagram. He was like, Amari just lost a bet to, or Parsons just, you know, all these guys game, you know.
Jason, major bag alert. Best sports talk show. So John, okay, this was not even a question. I thought about leaving this out, but this was so bold and so out of the box that I respected it. Jason says, best sports talk show out there. Dudes keep it real and provide extremely honest, unfiltered takes. Also, my company is hiring project managers in the Bay Area. Can also be remote. If you have a tax finance background, shoot me a text. 832-546-6779. Jason Giovanni, tell him Haberman and Middlecoff sent you.
So you need a tax and finance guy. When I read the question when I was scrolling through comments, probably last week, I thought he wanted us. That makes sense. He's just put it out there to the audience. Because I was like thinking, you know, I've gone through about three tax guys in about 5 years, so I don't necessarily have a guy to give you.
They keep going to jail.
Sacramento guy is booming.
Name the company. Name the company next time.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Yeah, we, you know, most people have to pay to advertise on this show, but, you know, if you're a listener.
I appreciate the hustle.
First one could be free. All right, here's one from Facebook. This is from Drew. Question, who do you like for Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think Jameen Davis. I think Jameen, linebacker from Kentucky, is the right guy in Ron Rivera's defense. His measurables are eerily similar to Kuechly, and we all know what he accomplished under Ron Rivera. Jameen does an excellent job. Jammin'. I like Jammin' better.
Me too.
Davis does lack the experience compared to other guys, but I think he landed in the perfect situation. His talent and potential will be maximized. He could easily be a 100-tackle-a-year guy with a handful of picks and sacks. Thanks, Drew Peary. I guess, John, let's welcome in Mike Silver for some perspective. Oh, no, he's not here.
This is a natural thing to do. Is you throw out like the best player that's ever played for the coach. I think it's unfair to players, right? I mean, Luke Kuechly is going to the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best players at his position we've ever seen. It's actually kind of sad his career got cut so short because I know this. Remember that first game, the Niners? Was that Kyle's first game ever? No, because it might have been Jimmy's first start. I don't even remember. But they just play him back when Keekly's just healthy.
Talking about the game they kicked the Panthers' ass?
No, I thought the Panthers kicked their ass. Remember?
Oh, you're talking about when the Niners were bad.
Yeah, it might have been Kyle's first game. And it was just like, it was, because I remember Sala.
Was that the game Mike Tolbert went off?
Yeah, because...
Didn't Mike Tolbert truck somebody?
Sala talked about it in the flying coach that he called a timeout in that game when they were down 30. Remember Kuechly picking off Brian Hoyer? He like threw it right to him. I think then Kuechly also picked off Jimmy. Maybe they've played him multiple times. Keekly's awesome.
I feel like Mike Tolbert trucked somebody in that game.
Mike Tolbert, that was a Harbaugh day when Mike Tolbert got Eric Reed, killed Eric Reed. Okay. Remember? They met.
Yeah.
And Tolbert was coming like a Humvee, and props to Eric. He was ready for the tackle. It just, that guy was a load. Killed him. Destroyed him. I do remember going to that Panther-Niner game. Remember, they played twice because they played in the playoffs. That was a hard hit, like... That there wasn't a pussy fucking in uniform that day. Bodies were getting destroyed.
Wasn't the Tolbert game, wasn't that the game that the Niners ran? Remember they finished the game with like some...
The Niners lost the game. Ball, we went at Candlestick and they lost.
What's the game that they ran like Harbaugh ran like 12 straight... They ran the ball like 12 straight plays on one drive. I think
then they played him in the playoffs because the Panthers were like the 1 or 2 seed and the Niners went on the road week 2, you know, it was the second round, and just demolished them in the second half. Ran it down their throat, I think.
Yeah, I must not be thinking about a Panther game. I'm thinking about a Niner home game.
I think it was the Cardinals that you're talking
about. All right. Next up. This is from Sal Vumbaka. Hey, guys, love what you do. Never miss a podcast or YouTube episode. Glad you took some time off. It's well-deserved. Question. Since it's the off-season and lots of players are playing golf, if you had to put together a golf foursome, including yourself, with either past or present players that you either know would be awesome to hang out with on the course or you think would be awesome to hang out with on the course, who would it be? My foursome would be George Kittle, Marshawn Lynch, Chad Ochocinco.
Yeah, I'm not golfing with those guys. I would hang. I would do something with them. Golf would not.
Smoltz?
Yeah, to me, it would start with Peyton and Tom. I think it would be Peyton and Tom, and I'd have to think about the third. But, I mean, I just you saw Peyton last night. Did I forward you that tweet of him just, like, with Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah. I saw him interviewed the day before, too.
When would you go anywhere in life and you just be like, yeah, I play golf with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. People wouldn't want to hear about it. Like, that, to me, story trumps any guy you could say. J.J. Watts to George Kittles.
Is Mickelson allowed here, or is that?
I thought he meant like NFL players. Yeah. I might go Peyton, Tom, and Bill.
Belichick.
Sean Payton, ask about Bountygate.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Young. I think Steve Young would be interesting.
Yeah, I'd go quarterback.
I think we've both read his book in the pandemic.
Listened. Millennial. Yeah.
Brady and Payton, you're not going to get any argument from me there. Yeah, it's a good question.
Someone DM'd me, why does Peyton Manning dress like he's always just come from the golf course? It's like, that's his outfit. Do you think he has?
Yeah, he has. And B, I think it's just the Southern. It's always going to be the striped shirt, tucked in.
Khaki shorts.
Khakis. And the belt that's like leather and metal.
Yeah.
Or like the weave.
And he actually doesn't wear like, it feels like he wears tennis shoes a lot. Probably easier on his feet.
Yeah, tennis shoes. Yeah. Which you can wear with that outfit.
Yeah. You're right.
Always shorts.
It is a Southern look.
Always shorts. John, let's tell the people before we go any further about our friends at Decked. Decked.com/ham. That's Decked, DECKED.com/ham. If you have a truck, you do not want your stuff rattling around in the cab, under the seat. You don't want it exposed to the elements, exposed to anybody that just walks by and looks in your truck bed. That's why Decked is here to protect, secure, organize, and make easily accessible all your stuff.
Yep. Drawer system keeps your gear secure, has a 2,000-pound payload to put anything on top of it. Think about that. Their warranty, absolutely incredible. Says 3 years, but as the people that run the company told us, they have literally never said no to anyone. American-made, USA, America, that's where they create this thing. Throw it in the back of the truck, put anything you want in it. You want a tailgate? Tailgates are going to be big. Throw a couple Modelos, throw a couple Trulies, throw a couple White Claws. No free ads here, so they're not paying us. We do have an ad that we could throw in there here in about a month.
That'll be coming.
But yeah, get on it right now. Deck.com. Get your Deck drawer system at deck.com/ham and get free shipping. I love free shipping. Deck.com/ham for free shipping on your Deck drawer system. Deck.com/ham.
You can take it in and put it out in under 5 minutes. Every full-size truck or cargo van made since the mid-90s, it fits. Every mid-sized truck since around 05, it fits. And, football tailgating season here. Put some ice in those drawers on the weekends. Load them up with some, like John said, whatever you want, and have a good time.
Get on it, people.
We appreciate everybody at Decked.com/ham.
Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping, always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I got to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock. I've spent years trying to upgrade my security system at the house with one of those big name companies that, I'll be honest, sucks. I got the Eufy Video Lock, and it's an automatic improvement. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y, Video Lock. It's easy to install, just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required, and now I've got the keyless entry. I always go for walks. I don't want to take keys. I hate stuff in my pockets. I go without the keys. The fingerprint recognition lets me in less than 1 second. There's no monthly fees. You have your recordings locally. You never have to pay for storage. I love knowing that doorbell ring was just a delivery. I don't have to jump up and get it. Or if I'm out of town, I can look. I can see the landing in front of the door and tell the neighbor, hey, do you mind swinging by and picking up something? I love the 3-in-1 video smart lock from Eufy, and you will too. So search Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. Onward. Carlos asks on Facebook, how good for your business is it that Kyle Shanahan is honest every time? You know, it's funny that he asked that question. We were having a conversation with somebody today, and we'll probably have a conversation on the podcast with this person later, and we talked about this very thing, and the answer is good. It's very Kyle Shanahan is great for business. Absolutely. No shame in saying that.
I think it goes back to Harbaugh. I would imagine times were a lot different in the Eddie DeBartolo days in terms of the internet, but in terms of the interest, when people perceive the Niners are going to be good or when they actually are good, we've been saying this forever. Like, why do you guys talk so much of the Niners now? Well, because the interest is Yankee level. It's Cowboy level. They're a cash cow. Ask Jed what it's like to own the Niners. He would tell you, I live like a fucking king. And there's a difference levels in the NFL. Like, there are franchises that have won a lot more over the last 20 years than the Niners. The Minnesota Vikings. They're not even in the same league when in terms of interest and fan base, just in terms of quantity. So it just, I think Kyle is a unique guy. But if they had, let's just take out Kyle and give him Bruce Arians, right? Or Pete Carroll or anyone, and they were just good, or people think they were going to be good, it would be different. Maybe because he's younger, but I don't think it would. If Bruce Arians was their coach and people thought they were going to win 12 games and had just gone to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, I think it would be the same, right?
Yeah, I do think.
I'm not trying to diminish Kyle. I'm just saying, like, it is. It's there because Harbaugh, we saw the same. Now, Kyle and Harbaugh are unique characters.
I don't think we can undervalue. I do think we could probably overvalue, so I don't want to do that. But I do think the fact that his last name is Shanahan, just like when you're watching the All-Star game and Vlad Guerrero Jr., the fact that he's Guerrero Jr., right? Fernando Tatis Jr. Like, the fact that he's a Shanahan.
I mean, their GM's John Lynch, too.
GM John Lynch. But the name is just, it's been synonymous with football, with all football since the mid-90s, and certainly Bay Area football longer. So that's a factor, too. He has earned what he's got, right? But that name, I think, also helps just from a brand recognition standpoint. And we've been talking about him, the Falcons and the Super Bowl. We've been talking about him for a long time.
Yeah, and Harbaugh, in fairness to Harbaugh, he also has a unique name, like a pretty famous name. You know? Yeah.
There it is. And it was nuts.
I guess my Bruce Arians argument, like at this point in time, Bruce Arians is very famous.
I think your point is a good one, which is the Niners, if we think they're going to be competitive, the floor for their coach's fame is going to be very high, regardless of who it is.
Yes.
Next up, this is from D-Seld. Where's Hunter Bishop? Love the show. Question for the next major bag alert. when are you guys going to use your insider knowledge, previous guest on the pod, to figure out when we get to see Hunter Bishop in action this year? Looking forward to seeing him up in Eugene, Hillsboro, hitting bombs. Promo code HAM.
Had an oblique injury. Did you know that?
I did. I texted with Hunter yesterday when I saw this was on the podcast, and I told him, somebody wants to know how you're doing, so what can we tell people? And let me scroll back here, because then we start talking about. He said, doing good, almost back. Been a long road, but I'm feeling healthy and strong finally. And I said, I'm sure it's been frustrating, blah, blah, blah. He said, it's all good, part of the plan. And then he wanted to start talking about something else. So.
Dude Orlando that went to Sarah High School that played for the A's, actually the Mariner system. He was a UC Davis guy who's buddies with Hunter, who's a little older than him, who played golf with him, said Hunter's a scratch golfer, really good player.
Yeah,
I didn't
we
know
talked
that.
To him. He loved, you know, when we talked to him,
I knew he loved golf. I didn't know he was like an elite player. I'd assume he was decent, but
going to UW on a football scholarship before he decided to become a baseball star.
He's probably, what's he bad at? Like racquetball? Probably no one's ever beat him.
Nothing. Probably nothing. I was trying to get him hooked up with Nick Aliotti, who's up there in Eugene and loves golf. The former
is that where their Ducks defensive that's where their team is.
Yeah, the Hillsboro Hops, I think is the name, or the Emeralds, Eugene Emeralds. Maybe it's the Eugene Emeralds. Not exactly.
Isn't it kind of crazy how many Major League Baseball teams are in just random cities throughout the country? Double A and single A?
You mean like minor? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, their minor league systems.
So Hunter's good. He's going to be back soon. And still very much a friend of the show. Prayers up. This is from Todd Kleinhines. Love the pod on Facebook. Love the pod and all the content. Which sports changes did you initially hate but you've come around on, like the introduction of interleague play, expanded NFL playoffs, NBA play-in game, alternate jerseys, also bar recommendation in the South Bay, Double D's Bar and Grill in Los Gatos, great Korean ribs, plus great beer selection, and as an added bonus, Kyle Shanahan is a regular and can be seen on regular occasion, as is Patrick Marleau and some other Sharks. So we know what Kyle is drinking, right, after the All-Star game now.
Jack and Coke?
Looks like a Jack and Coke. Double D's Bar and Grill in Los Gatos, or as I hear people from down there say sometimes, Los Gatos.
Los Gatos, yeah.
Sports changes you hated... alternate jerseys, et cetera.
I've loved every change. I think this is on guy.
Yeah. What did I hate?
We hate the runner on second. You said you've come around.
Yeah, hate the runner on second. It's definitely, I still think it's cheap, but I can't deny that I enjoy it. Like, that's a weird one where I'm like, I don't like it conceptually, but I can't deny that I just enjoy it.
You see, Manfred said the doubleheaders are here to stay.
No, but not the seven. No seven inning doubleheaders, though, I thought he said.
Oh, I thought he said seven innings were here to stay. That's the way
Really? I saw the other day. Did he say that on Wednesday?
Maybe I misread it. I just saw that people were like, this is going to piss off the old timers. I thought he... So it's nine innings?
I read the other day that the seven-inning doubleheaders are probably going away, unless he said something since that I don't...
But again, I'm, in I'm fairness, sure about. Like even if you don't like it or not, no one's watching a doubleheader, you know? So I guess we're only nitpicking that, like...
They never even happen. They rarely happen.
Yeah. They do make sense. Do you agree with that? Easier to get in.
What makes sense? Oh, if you're going to play one to play seven?
Yeah.
Instead? Yeah. Whatever. They don't happen enough, so I don't...
Didn't Bumgarner throw a seven-inning no-hitter?
That much. This year?
I think he did, yeah. That was like one of their 20.
There have been a few teams that... I think
he did,
it was last year. Rule changes, I hated at first, but now like... interleague play. I don't think I had an opinion on that. Expanded NFL playoffs, NBA play-in game. I don't. Alternate jerseys.
I think the play-in game was pretty good. I mean, the Lakers.
Yeah,
I
enjoyed it this year.
Yeah.
I didn't like the. How about here's one? Although this is not really. I enjoy it. The NCAA tournament going to 68 and having those first four games. I don't like, because I'm like, are you in the tournament or are you not in the tournament? Because they call them playing games, but I watch them and enjoy them.
You could argue they're closer to irrelevant than actually mattering, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The two-line pass rule, John? I know that got you. That you've been fired up about that since hockey.
Did we add an extra playoff game? We have seven teams last year? Yeah, we did, huh?
The NFL? Yeah.
Or was this year the first year? No, last year. Last year happened?
Talking about the NFL?
Yeah. Did we get seven teams last year?
No. Weren't there two byes?
I don't think there were. but I don't even remember.
We're on top of that one.
Seven teams. I think there were seven teams last year. Because remember, they just it was Corona. They just wanted.
Oh, that's right. Because we talked about you know what reminds me is the
Raiders.
The Raiders.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to complain about seven teams when you get the extra playoff game and you're enjoying it, right?
Yeah, seven teams. Because the Bears got in an 8-8.
Yeah, they got killed.
This is a great question. I wish I had a better answer for it. The 3-point line, that one killed me when it came in. No, I didn't care about that.
Line judges, tennis?
I will say, I don't have a particular complaint about replay reviews other than I've always said this is one of my longstanding takes, which is the point of the game is that we play it. It doesn't matter who wins as long as you played the game. Now, to your credit, and you've said this for a while, you bring gambling into play and getting it right has become more important than it used to be.
They owe it to the fans, guy.
Owe it to the fans.
They owe it to the gambler. There
were
is.
You mad the other day when there was some debate about whether one of the home run derby home runs happened in time?
Well, it was close. If I would add money, but you understand, like if you have a couple hundred dollars on it, like, I know. Are we talking integrity? Do you care about our hard earned money?
Mailbag, Andrew on Facebook. You guys were talking about shootouts in soccer, how exciting it was. What if the NFL changed to field goals from the 40, but only players that took snaps kicked the field goals? No kicker. You'd have to move that thing up to like the 10. Yeah,
that'd be like a good Pro Bowl type thing. I don't know if you could do that. Like, can you imagine like some lineman nailing a kick and you're like, I don't think we have a guy that can make the kick. Belichick would find a guy like on this, like his backup special.
If a game was tied in the second half, Bill would get like his kicker into the game as like a receiver or something dumb like that, right? Yeah. You'd be like, oh, he played a snap.
Like run a reverse for him, but tell him just to hit the ground.
Yeah, he never touches the ball. He's just on the other side of the field.
Or to me, what he'd do is one of his players, he would cross-train him in the offseason, like a practice squad guy. He would develop a guy that could just hit 40-yard kicks and could also just like cover kicks, right? So like your sixth wide receiver, he would just train that guy. It would be an advantage for Belichick, 100%. There would be half the teams in the league. Kyle, would get to the – they would be fucked. They'd be like, what are we doing?
Belichick's guy would hit a kick in, like, the NFC in the AFC Championship game or something. Speaking of – I mean, one rule change. Remember when the All-Star game – I was reminded yesterday – used to determine home field advantage in the World Series? That was pretty insane.
That was nuts. That was crazy.
All right. On that note, get the mailbag questions in for next week on iTunes. We appreciate you doing it there for sure. That helps the pod when you review on iTunes. And you can also hit us on the Facebook.
I do think there should be a universal overtime in golf. And I get that every tournament is different, but the US Open, if they had tied, they play 18 the next day. Some of these random tournaments, they just play sudden death. The Open, they play four holes. Aggregate score. So even if you quadruple bogey the first, you're not out of it. Like, can't we just get a universal, either a golden rule, like, first birdie wins, or...
I know what I would choose. What would you choose?
I would just choose sudden death. Right after.
I agree. Just, you play up, you three guys, someone falls off, you play the second hole, you tie, you play the third hole, you tie, you play the fourth hole, somebody wins.
And the way I would do it is I would do this, the holes that were the hardest that week is where you start. So whatever, over the 4 days, the hardest hole, that's where you start. And the next one, you have carts, it's not a fan experience anymore. Because typically they just take them back to 18, right? And then all the fans run back. The US Open or the British Open one, just because it's happened before, there's just so many people there. It is kind of cool.
I will say.
Not a terrible idea, the four-hole one.
Majors, just play Monday 18 holes one-on-one.
Yeah, that's not a terrible idea.
Because I just selfishly as a viewer, it'd be an incredible product.
It hasn't happened to me. I guess it did. I lost with Tony Finau. But I probably shouldn't have been there. Remember, Homa missed a last putt. So I was kind of like, I wasn't super cocky going in there. It is... I never have as much money in the line in a football game. There is something to be said when you can win four figures in a golf tournament and it's coming down hole by hole. That is it's pretty electric. Because I saw Darren Rovell what happened? A game, maybe a, was it a baseball game? It might have been the fight. Someone lost $400,000. It might have been Connor. They had $400,000 on Connor. And I'm like, listen, I mean, I've never bet $400,000. But if you're anyone betting $400,000, I don't think it's like, if I lose, I have no money left, right? So I'm like, that guy, he's like, yikes, this has to hurt. Well, probably not, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was everything he had. Tell me that time.
Yeah, the guy, exactly. Like, this guy's more, he's done. He's out on the street. That would be an
incredible
tweet.
Here's a picture of his betting slip and his bank account.
Yeah, $7,700. This guy just lost his job. When his wife finds out, she's definitely going to leave him. He has $0 in his bank account. He's fucked.
But you know what? That bet's always a lot sadder. That bet's always sadder. It's like, here's a $400 bet.
It is.
And the person has $7 left. Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for hanging with us, everybody.
Adios.